But folks, Ukraine isn't the only nation in danger of losing its nationhood. We talk a lot about Israel, and I'll talk briefly about it today, as we usually do. Because Israel is losing ground. Israel is losing ground, and this is most apparent in the court of public opinion, as well as in the UN. Earlier this week, I believe it was today, but I'm not entirely sure. Earlier this week, a UN resolution for a ceasefire in Gaza actually passed. The United States did not veto the resolution this time. Now, what this suggests is that political pressure in the United States has mounted on this current administration such that our actions in the UN are now beginning to reflect the political landscape in the United States. Because Biden and his campaign are trying to paint the picture that they're being reelected in November. They're trying to paint the picture that they're going to be reelected in November. That's not possible if you're missing tens of millions of votes as a protest to what you're doing, to what you're co-signing in Gaza. Because make no mistake, we are co-signing genocide in Gaza. And Biden, on day one, gave a blank check to Israel to do whatever the hell they wanted. And the Duran actually just did a piece on this. If you couldn't tell, I've been watching a lot of the Duran again. Very, very, very reliable. Very, very good. I can't recommend them more. I recommend that you listen to them when you get the chance. But they literally just went back and talked about it and how bad that blank check was. Because it is bad. And this is sort of, it's World War One. A World War One era mistake. You know, people talk about the Germans give a blank check to the Austro-Hungarians, to the Austro-Hungarians for their war against Serbia, and then that's how we get World War One. Well, then what is that? If that makes Germany to blame for World War One, then what does that say about us? If the person who gives the blank check is more to blame for the disaster than the person who caused the disaster, which is the Austro-Hungarians, no doubt about it. If Germany giving them a blank check makes Germany to blame, then what does it say about us that we give Israel a blank check and they committed genocide with that check? They cashed our blank check in for genocide against Palestinians. We talked about the primaries and the result that us giving a blank check for genocide has started to have on the U.S. electoral cycle. 100,000 uncommitted votes in Dearborn, in Michigan. Biden not even being able to win Dearborn County because there were just so many uncommitted votes. And it's not that they were uncommitted. You know, they were very committed, just not to him. They're very committed to not co-signing genocide. Michigan being the one state in this country with a very large Muslim population. I believe Minnesota is sort of up there as well. That's not going to go over well in this election. That's not going to go over well. Now, of course, they're going to try to compensate for that with cheating, but the cheating can only take you so far when real people's votes are accounted for and they're not counted for you. The cheating can only go so far, which is why Trump wants us all to go out and vote like our lives depend on it, because in part it does. But it's not just the Muslims in our country. It's Jews who don't want to co-sign a genocide being committed in their name. Jews in America who don't want to be, you know, to have the reputation of themselves and of their religion permanently stained with the actions of the Israeli government. People who don't want to kill their fellow man. And it's not just the Muslims, it's not just the Jews, it's a lot of people who don't want to co-sign genocide. And that's why they keep calling him Genocide Joe. They're calling him Genocide Joe. He can't go anywhere without being harassed and harangued for his policies in Gaza. And that's the nice way of putting it, his policies in Gaza. They're critiquing his policies in Gaza. No, they're critiquing genocide, which is being done with our weapons and our money. No one wants that. And this is having an impact on the U.S. election cycle, where they have to get enough legitimate votes to carry them across, so that the cheating can carry them across the finish line. They can't win an election purely off of cheating. That much they can't do. But they're bleeding votes so fast. They're bleeding votes so fast. And pair that with third party challenge. But I'm hyper-focusing on the Gaza aspect of the collapse in Biden's support, because that's really the cause behind this change in our position at the UN. We've vetoed every other peace negotiation, every other ceasefire that has made its way to the UN. Why are we not vetoing this one now? It's not because the people... It's not because our quote-unquote representative at the UN has chosen to do the right thing. It's because of politics. The war in Gaza is bad for Biden's re-election chances. It's bad for him. It's bad for the country. But they're thinking about Biden's re-election. Even if those people don't vote for Trump, they're not going to vote for Biden. By at least, and you're talking at least 100,000 people not voting for Biden this election. That hands Trump Michigan. And probably hands him Minnesota, the very coveted Minnesota vote. He's going to win Minnesota probably, because of similar protest votes there. And who knows where else, if this crisis continues to go on and on and on, how many more protest votes he's going to get, and how much bigger it's going to be, and where it's going to manifest. Because Michigan is a swing state. Minnesota isn't necessarily solid blue. But that they're in danger of losing both of them. And I think that it's this internal political struggle that Biden's having with regards to people not wanting our country to be complicit in genocide that's caused this shift in the UN. The shift in the UN is important because we have been the sole country protecting Israel from the UN. And because the UN, the global majority... has voted in favor of ceasefire after ceasefire after ceasefire after ceasefire. And we've been the ones keeping that from happening. Now we're getting out of the way. We've gotten out of the way this one time. And I think that that's a shift in policy that might stick so that Biden can try to increase his chances of painting the picture of his re-election. But that shift doesn't help Israel. The domestic political issues that the Biden administration is facing is not conducive towards Israel being able to cash in its blank check, which is what the Israelis would like to do. And so with us, because of domestic political reasons, being out of the way and removing ourselves as the block, the shield for Israel to do whatever the hell it wants in Gaza, now Israel has to face the music. We've got to face the music. A ceasefire. And with us out of the way, not for the right reasons necessarily, but with us out of the way, now that political pressure is going to be applied directly to Israel instead of us, because we've been protecting them. When the UN votes for this resolution, when it you know, goes all the way, and Israel either says, they're either going to say yes, or they're going to say no. And every time they say no, they make the case for South Africa's genocide case against them. They make the case for genocide, which is being levied against them. They make South Africa's case for them every time they say no to a ceasefire. But if they say yes to the ceasefire, well, then more pressure is going to be applied on them to actually get a lasting peace and to not go back to being at war. And this is not just external pressure, it's going to be internal pressure, because the people who've evacuated from the northern parts of Israel want to go back to their homes. But they're not going to be able to do that if there's not a lasting peace. And I've said this myself, the best way to fight Hamas is to make peace with the Palestinians. To provide a peace that accounts for your security and their security so that they have reason to buy in to the new security system. It's tried and tested. It's ancient. This is ancient knowledge on geopolitics. If you want other people to go along with your system, you either A, force them into submission, or B, you give them an incentive to enforce your system for you because it benefits them. Turn an enemy into an ally. And Israel has more than enough capability to do that with Palestine. Mutual development that would benefit both of them. Trade deal. Or a customs union, if you will, between Israel and Palestine. Instead of a border wall. They don't have to have citizenship in Israel. Israel can be a sovereign country. Palestine can be a sovereign country. The Palestinians would want it that way anyway. I'm sure if Israel made itself available, as they could be the largest trading partner for Palestine, and they could work together. They could have joint development programs where the Israelis use their technological know-how, the tech that they've denied the Palestinians, mind you, but they could use their know-how to help the Palestinians extract resources. They could have a joint refining, they could have joint ventures to extract the resources of the shared plot of land that they both call home, and they would both benefit. And by working together, you'd have a better chance of negotiating with other countries and other blocs out there than either one of them would by themselves. You would incentivize development to come through Gaza, to come through the West Bank, to come through Israel from the Middle East. Position yourself well as you could have major port facilities. You could have rail running through Israel, Palestine into Arabia, or running through Israel and Palestine into Syria. And all it would take on Israel's part is to take the initiative on the peace, so that they could write it, right? Instead of having it imposed on themselves. But they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. They want everything in Palestine except for the Palestinians. That's what they want. And so, they commit genocide. And so they've resorted to genocide. And I hope this ceasefire proposal goes through. I hope it does. We talked last week about the famine risk that's present from now, basically, till May of this year. If the ceasefire goes through, supplies can get into Gaza, and you're talking about putting off the famine risk for at least until the winter.
Right.
At least until the winter. And more hostages can be exchanged. You know, you can get prisoner swaps, hostages in exchange with prisoners, which is what Hamas wanted. And perhaps you can have a lasting, resounding peace, a real resolution to this conflict. That becomes a possibility with the ceasefire. Because every day that these two are not fighting is a day that we can get closer to an actual settlement here. An actual armistice and treaty. That's the end goal. That's everyone wants, except for the United States. Except for Israel. That's what everyone wants. And it would be in everyone's interest, including the United States and including Israel, for there to be peace here. I say including the United States. And it's not... Oh, we need this because it's so crucial to us. But if you're Biden and you're looking for re-election, granted the United States shouldn't be involved, but because we are, and because we have this absurd situation where our so-called president has to resolve crises that are out of his control to win a re-election, I suppose it would concern you then. And peace would be in your best interest. Granted, I'm not entirely sure how much credit Biden would get for that. Even if he did negotiate this. Because people would say this happened under your watch. And you didn't do anything about it until we made you do something about it. You know. But that's his own fault for, you know, co-signing genocide. But alas, I hope that the ceasefire goes through. I hope that we can get more of the hostages home. I hope that we can have a real peace in Gaza. I just am not entirely certain that Israel is going to have enough foresight for their own future, for their own sake, to follow through on this. And because as of now, they've claimed they're still talking about doing this raid into Rafah, right? They're still talking about doing this massive ground operation into Rafah. And as of now, we have gotten numbers where Israel has claimed to have killed more than 140 Hamas in its raid on the Al-Shifa hospital, which is the largest hospital in Gaza. 140 Hamas. More likely that less than half of that was actually Hamas, and most of it was just civilians that they're claiming are Hamas, which is what they usually do. And the numbers are cooked, and it's one of the it's one of the things that exposes them for being committers of genocide. The cooking of the books, once you peel back the curtain on that and you realize that they're just saying that every adult man who has died in Gaza is Hamas, you realize, oh wow, they're not actually doing any kind of due diligence to make sure they kill Hamas. They're just killing everybody. And that's genocide. That's genocide. But we're at a point now where, due to domestic political reasons, Israel's biggest supporter can't support them to the same degree. And that's going to, our support for them is going to get weaker and weaker as time goes on. It's going to get weaker and weaker as time goes on. And as it gets weaker, Israel's going to have to fend for itself. And as it does so, as it doubles down on what it's doing and rejects peace, the case will be made against them by South Africa, claiming that they're committing genocide. And Israel has no counter to that. And I've speculated that should that ruling come down, saying that yes, they are committing genocide against the Palestinians, that would serve as a case for war for every nation in the Middle East to form a coalition against Israel, similar to how we asked the UN for permission to go into Iraq both times, got permission the first time, excuse me, didn't the second time, but that sort of process of a country asking for a coalition to intervene, similar to what we're seeing with Haiti, where countries are asking the UN for an intervention into this country, something similar will happen with Gaza. And that may be the trigger for an international coalition against Israel. And Israel can't survive that. Israel can't survive that. The Turks are primed and ready to go. The Iranians have been doing their best to keep this tide at bay. They won't be able to stop that if the genocide ruling comes down. Egypt will have more incentives than not. If this coalition forms against Israel, they're going to have more incentives than not to join the coalition against Israel. And that's just it for Israel. So Ukraine may not be the only country on the chopping block. They still have time to course correct, but unlike a lot of the other times I've said that time appears to be tangibly running out. So we'll pray and hope that they do make the right choice. Better late than never, I suppose. But it's, again, going back to patterns of behavior and all that, it looks like Israel is probably going to continue down this path of its own self-destruction, which is a pattern of behavior that they have had for quite some time now.